This is Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. Immerse yourself in the gripping courtroom audio as justice unfolds in the chilling case of Tristan Bailey's murder. Witness the raw emotion, the powerful testimonies, and the unfiltered truth of Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. We now take you to segment number two in the courtroom during the sentencing of Aiden Fucci.
The judge got a circuit court order in order.
You can all be seated, thank you.
Maybe if you'll pause right there and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, I do.
All right, we'll step one up into the microphone.
Good morning, ma'am. Could you please state your name for the record?
Brooke Hoover. I'm a crime laboratory analyst for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement.
Ms. Hoover, how long have you been so employed with FDLE?
12 years.
Just kind of jump right into this case. I know normally we talk a lot about in a trial that's necessary. So let me just ask you, ma'am, in May and June of 2021, were you assigned to conduct DNA testing items of evidence from an investigation by the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office that was in connection with a victim by the name of Tristan Bailey?
Yes.
All right, I want to ask you about some of the items specifically of evidence that you received. Did you receive DNA standards that were identified as coming from Bailey as well as Aiden Fucci?
Yes.
And did you conduct DNA testing on those items?
Yes, I did.
And were you able to develop profiles of both Tristan Bailey and Aiden Fucci?
Yes.
Did you also receive an item that was identified as a white American Eagle t-shirt?
Yes.
All right, and did you conduct DNA testing on that item?
Yes, I did.
Right. Was there anything unusual about the shirt itself, something that kind of focused your attention in terms of DNA testing?
I was looking at reddish-brown staining, tested positive for blood.
Okay, and where were those reddish-brown stains located that you tested?
They were on the front and back of the shirt.
Did you do anything to determine whether or not those reddish-brown stains actually blood?
Yes, I used a chemical color change test, and all of the stains I took for DNA testing did give chemical indications for blood.
And what did you do next?
I took cuttings of the stains, and I took a wearer sample from the back of the shirt, and those samples went forward for DNA testing.
Okay. And you, if I understand correctly, you tested four areas of the shirt, including the area that you test for wear DNA, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about, can you describe which shirt, not the collar that you did the wear DNA, what areas of the shirt did you actually conduct testing on?
There was a stain in the center front of the shirt. It had the darkest reddish-brown staining on the item. I took a cutting from that. I took a cutting from the back left sleeve, and I took a cutting from the back bottom of the shirt.
So with regard to the cutting from the front of the shirt, you obtained DNA results from that area?
Yes, I did.
And what was the results as it pertains specifically to Tristan Bailey and Aiden Fucci?
Tristan, it was a two-person mixture. Bailey was included as a possible contributor to the mixed DNA profile. The observed mixed DNA profile is greater than 700 billion times more likely to occur if the stain is from Tristan Bailey and one unrelated individual than from two unrelated individuals. Aiden Fucci was excluded as a contributor to that mixed DNA profile.
Okay, thank you. The cutting that you took from the back left sleeve, did you obtain DNA results from that area?
Yes.
And what were those results specifically to Aiden Fucci and Tristan Bailey?
It was a complete DNA profile consistent with a male individual. That DNA profile matched my profile from Aiden Fucci. The observed DNA profile was greater than 700 billion times more likely to occur if the sample originated from Aiden Fucci than from an unrelated individual.
And then the area, the cutting from the back bottom right of that white T-shirt, did you obtain DNA from that area?
Yes, that was a three-person mixture. Aiden Fucci is included as a possible contributor to the mixed DNA profile. The observed mixed DNA profile is greater than 700 billion times more likely to occur if the sample originated from Aiden Fucci and two unrelated individuals than from three unrelated individuals. Tristan Bailey is as a possible contributor to the mixed DNA profile. The observed mixed DNA profile is greater than 700 billion times more likely to occur if the sample originated from Bailey and two unrelated individuals than from three unrelated individuals.
Thank you. And then the area, the inside back collar that you sampled for wear DNA, did you obtain a result from that area?
Yes, that was a two-person mixture. Aiden Fucci was included as a possible contributor to the mixed DNA profile. The observed mixed DNA profile is greater than 100 billion times more likely to occur if the sample originated from Aiden Fucci and one unrelated individual. Two unrelated individuals. Tristan Bailey was excluded as a contributor to the mixed DNA profile.
Okay, thank you. Did you also receive a pair of white Nike tennis shoes for DNA testing?
Yes.
Did you observe any potential blood on those shoes?
Yes.
All right. And where were those stains located?
I took a sample of staining from the left shoe. The sample I took forward for DNA testing was above a top lace hole on the left side. That area tested positive for blood. I took a cutting from the shoe forward for DNA testing.
All right. And what were, and did you obtain results?
Yes.
And what were those results specifically as it related to Tristan Bailey and Aiden Fucci?
A partial DNA profile consistent with a female was obtained from the shoe. This DNA profile matches the DNA profile from the observed DNA profile is greater than 700 billion times more likely to occur if the sample originated from Tristan Bailey than from an unrelated individual.
All right, and I want to take you to another item that you said. Did you receive swabs that were identified as coming from a buck knife?
Yes, I did.
And how many swabs did you receive?
Two swabs from the knife. One was from the handle. The other was from the blade.
Right. And what did you do with the swab from the buck knife handle?
The buck knife handle, it gave chemical indications for the presence of blood. I did take it forward for DNA testing, but due to the limited nature of the DNA results obtained, the data was not interpretable.
And what about the swab of the buck knife blade?
The swab from the blade gave chemical indications for the presence of blood. I obtained a mixture consistent with two donors, including at least one male contributor. Tristan Bailey is included as a possible contributor to the mixed DNA profile. The observed mixed DNA profile is greater than 700 billion times more likely to occur. The sample originated from Tristan Bailey and one unrelated individual than from two unrelated individuals. When I compared the DNA profile from Aiden Fucci to the mixture, it failed to demonstrate sufficient statistical support for inclusion or exclusion. Therefore, no determination can be made regarding the contribution of Aiden Fucci to this item.
Now let me go to, did you receive a pair of American Eagle blue jeans?
Yes, I did.
Can you describe those jeans as they first appeared to you?
The jeans had staining on them. It appeared faint yellowish, and I circled areas of interest Every area that I tested by taking small cuttings, and all areas tested gave chemicals over the presence of blood.
Okay. You said that there were multiple areas of light yellowish staining?
Yes.
And you tested each of those areas? I guess you did you test them for blood?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and each of those areas tested positive for blood?
Each area that positive for blood, yes.
Do you know how many specific areas you took samples from?
9.
Conducted DNA testing?
Yes, I did.
And what were your results?
None of the results were suitable for me to make any comparisons. Some of them were, which means there were 4 or more donors. Some of them I could not determine the number of donors. And some of them were limited, not use any of the samples for comparison.
Right. Let me ask you this for identification purposes. I know that some of the language that you use, particularly with, for example, the areas where there was a single source DNA profile, and you use the word match, it matched that a particular person, and then in other areas where there was a mixture, you use the word inclusion, and then you provided some statistics to kind of explain sort of the significance of that finding. Can you kind of explain why you use different terminology in each of those situations?
Yes, when we're comparing a single source DNA profile to a reference standard, and that person matches all of the areas tested, that's what we call. When we have a DNA mixture that originated from more than one individual and we're comparing a reference standard and there's common points, we call that a possible inclusion, and we report the statistics to give weight or value to that inclusion.
And when you some of the statistics that you cited, for example, a lot of those you said that person's profile, the inclusion of them was 700 billion times more likely than them and an unrelated individual than, say, 2 unrelated individuals. What is the significant finding?
When we have a very high likelihood ratio, it means that a random coincidental occurrence is not a likely explanation for the DNA evidence. We talk about possible explanations of the evidence with the number of contributors to the mixture. When I have a 3-person mixture, I have to talk about both outcomes or both possible explanations for the evidence with 3 people on each side. When one possible explanation is Aiden Fucci and 2 unrelated individuals, that's 3 people on one side of my explanation. The possible explanation is 3 unrelated individuals. The difference between the two would be the person of interest, but we do have to talk about likelihood ratios with the number of people included in the mixture on both sides of our hypothesis.
So when you say, you know, more likely, 700 billion times more likely that it's him and an unrelated individual than 2 or 3 unrelated individuals, you know, 700 billion times, that's almost 100 times the population of the world, correct?
Correct.
One moment, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a little different what we're doing today because it's a sentencing. And we didn't go through your entire CV. I'm not going to do that now either. But as we are trying to make a record for the 24, I'm going to ask you some questions. Your testing, did you employ any methods or procedures to recover DNA from the evidence in this case that in the past had not been successful in terms of the evidence yielding DNA and STR DNA typing?
The methods used, we can test an item and not get DNA results, and that doesn't mean the test wasn't accurate. Just sometimes those are the results. I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Well, let me move forward then. Were the markers used in this case then the most comprehensive that your lab employs?
Yes.
And are the markers the most potential action?
Yes, for the type of testing, STR DNA testing, this is the kit that my laboratory system uses.
That's the kit that you're using currently?
Yeah, currently, yes.
All right. And can you explain typing mixture patterns in this case were resolved?
With computer software.
And you're not taking pencil and paper, you're relying on the STR software to do that?
Yes, I'm software.
And what's the name of the software?
It is called StarMix.
All right. And do you feel that StarMix affords you a far greater capability to take apart both the mixture and point out or identify the most likely contributors versus approaches in the past?
It is the first probabilistic genotyping software that FDLE has employed, so there wasn't software like this in the past. It's heavily validated and it's used by other laboratory systems across the U.S. and the world.
All right. Now, in terms of DNA typing an item of evidence, such as the knife handle, for example, are you aware of any approach that would be superior to StarMix at detecting, potentially assigning a statistical ability assessment, or I mean estimate, to those results?
From the knife handle, there were limited DNA results that were not interpretable, so the type of software to provide statistical association doesn't apply because the results themselves were not interpretable.
Meaning there's no other, you're using the best approach you have.
That's correct.
All right. And did anything occur in the course of you working up the evidence that may have compromised your ability to obtain additional information than what you received from the subject to the DNA typing?
No.
Now, looking to, and I believe that's item number one. And on that chart, for the stain from the back bottom right,
Sam.
All right, so on that you had identified three potential donors.
Correct.
All right. And at least one male.
Correct.
All right. And the unknown donor, were you able to identify the sex on the unknown donor?
No, I cannot gender of the third donor to the mixture.
All right. So to that particular one, you there's three, or by your testing, you're identifying three people.
Correct.
And then same item, the American Eagle t-shirt, you have some follow-up for submission 4 and 5. And at that time, you were provided additional individuals, additional DNA profiles for comparison.
That's correct.
All right. And on the shirt, Dofus Abster was also identified as a contributor to the shirt.
That is correct, to the wearer sample.
To the wearer sample.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
Earlier, that same bottom right, where there's three individuals, Absher was not one of those three.
He was in the inconclusive zone, so not determine his contribution to that mixture.
So we're still dealing with, then, at this point, four people identified on this particular item.
I cannot tell if the unknown person in that three-person mixture and the unknown person in the center front stain, I can't tell if that's the same. I can't tell if that's a different person. I have very limited information, and information in that donor, I'm missing it in the other mixture. So I really cannot tell if it's the same person or if it's a different person.
So then the number expands. So when I said now you're looking at potentially three people on the shirt, it could be more than four.
These are comparable DNA mixtures. It's possible that I get a standard and compare it to these mixtures, and it's possible that there's a person that could be included in both. It's possible that it is different. I just don't know, but I can say that this is comparable DNA information.
All right. And you're seeing where I'm getting to,
yeah,
in terms of you can't say how many people are on the shirt then. So
correct.
All right. Then looking to, and these are general questions, but in terms of DNA, the shirt is a fabric, right? So it's a, and it's got a high capacity to absorb DNA. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
All right. And in your experience, is DNA relatively stable once it's dried on a fabric?
Yes.
All right. And in general, or your general experience, can DNA be recovered, or blood, that is, weeks after it's deposited?
Yes, it can.
Months after?
Yes, it can.
Years after?
Yes.
All right. So then, looking to the genes, you had 9 samples.
Correct.
And, oh, sorry, it's item number 16. So on the genes, you had 9 samples.
Correct.
All right. And they all tested positive for blood.
Correct.
All right. And within those 9 samples, again, you're using the STAR mix. And
yes, I did use STAR mix, but the ultimate conclusion for these mixtures was not interpretable.
And that's for all 9.
Yes, for all 9. Not STAR mix was not used on all 9. Some of them were limited, and I did not even attempt. But ultimately, none of these mixtures are interpretable.
All right. And you had 4 or more potential donors on some of those samples?
At least 4, yes.
Okay. So then, turning to the fingernails, you received some DNA for fingernails from Tristan Bailey.
Fingernails?
Can you repeat your question, please?
You received DNA samples from the fingernails of Tristan Bailey.
Correct.
I'll overrule the objection.
And were you able to attribute the defendant to the DNA of the fingernails of Tristan Bailey?
No DNA results foreign to Tristan Bailey were obtained from her fingernail samples.
And turning to the knife. So again, just a couple of general questions, and I'm almost done here this morning. So the DNA can be deposited directly on most surfaces. Is that fair?
Yes.
And once dried, is relatively stable?
Yes.
All right. And DNA can be recovered efficiently from a knife handle with a cotton swab?
Yes, it can.
All right. Does handler DNA on a knife come from an individual applying or actually holding the instrument?
Yes.
Okay. And does grasping a knife cause skin cells then to transfer from the hand to the handle of the knife?
Yes.
And do you employ the same method for DNA recovery from the knife handle in this case that you previously used for knives or other objects in other cases?
Yes.
All right. And was there anything unusual about the knife handle that would lead you to suspect that it may not be a potential good source for handler DNA?
I did not actually have the knife in my custody. The samples were collected by someone else, and I only had the swabs.
Did you see photos of it?
I can't. I did after. I don't believe I saw photos of it before I tested.
Okay. Were any of the data recovered from the knife handle interpretable?
No.
Were you able to conclude that the defendant was a contributor to the DNA recovered from the knife blade?
I was not able to make that determination.
And were you in a situation where there's a large amount of female victim DNA on a knife blade? You can use Y-STR DNA typing to identify a trace or male contribution?
We can attempt, yes.
Okay. Will you explain why Y-STAR DNA typing is effective in that type of circumstance?
Y-STR DNA testing is when we buy DNA that is only found on the Y chromosome. And when we have samples where a female donor is overwhelming the male donor, this can be beneficial. And this actually was attempted in this case.
And the YSTR typing that was carried out on the case, in this case, were you able to conclude that Aiden Fucci's DNA was on the knife blade?
I was not the one that conducted the YSTR testing. I can read from someone else's report, but I want to be clear, I was not the one that performed the testing. Is that okay? Okay, the no YSTR DNA results were obtained from the knife blade.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Redirect.
We have a couple of questions and redirect. A couple of areas. I want to go back to the questions you were asked about the wear DNA on the white t-shirt. It was mentioned that you had conducted some follow-up testing and that an individual by the name of, or a profile from an individual by the name of Dolphus Absher was included within the wear sample. Were you, in the course of your analysis and testing, able to determine sort of the contribution rate between Aiden Fucci's contribution to that mixture versus Dolphus Absher's contribution rate?
Yes, Dolphus Absher, his inclusion statistic was approximately 120,000 times more likely to occur if the sample originated from Dolphus Absher and one unrelated individual than from two unrelated individuals. Going back, the inclusion stat, the likelihood ratio for Mr. Fucci was greater than 700 billion. There was more of Aiden Fucci's DNA seemingly present. And according to the software, when I looked at the mixture, I could tell that one donor was more prevalent than the other. And the software set deconvoluted the mixture and assigned contributor 1 as 82% of the mixture. Contributor 2 was at 18% of the mixture. Aiden Fucci was consistent as contributor 1. Mr. Abschner was consistent as contributor 2.
So Aiden Fucci was 82%
yes.
of that, 82% contributor to that mixture.
Correct.
Now, I also wanted to ask you about the samples of the genes that you tested, that you indicated that you were not able to get results from your sampling, your testing of those samples. If someone were to, if DNA had been left behind and someone came after the fact and attempted to clean that, would it have an effect on your, potential effect on your ability to be able to identify DNA on those clothing item?
Yes.
Nothing further.
All right, may this witness be excused. Thank you very much, ma'am. You're free to go. State, you may call your next witness.
State calls Detective Tyler Thompson.
Sir, if you'll pause right there and raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
So help me God.
All right, you can come on up here and have a seat in the witness stand.
Good morning, sir. Could you please state your name for the record?
Detective Tyler Thompson.
And how are you employed, sir?
St. Johns County Sheriff's Office.
How long have you been employed with St. Johns County?
I've been in law enforcement for approximately 9 years. 3 of those years have been with St. Johns County Sheriff's Office.
All right. And what other agencies have you worked for?
I've worked for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service as a special agent. Worked for St. Augustine Beach Police Department and Brevard County Sheriff's Office.
And what is your current, and before I ask that question, let me go back. How many years total in law enforcement?
Approximately 9.
Detective Thompson, what are your current assignment, your duties and responsibilities with the Sheriff's Office?
My current assignment, I'm with the Special Investigations Unit as a detective.
All right. And were you working for the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office in May of 2021?
Yes, sir.
What was your role back then?
I was a major crimes detective.
Right. At some point in time, specifically on May the 9th of 2021, did you become involved in investigation into what began as a disappearance of a young female by the name of Tristan Bailey, later became a homicide investigation? Did you become involved in that investigation? You recall approximately what time of the day it was that you were either called to assist?
Approximately 5 p.m.
And what was sort of the first thing that you were instructed to do?
To respond to the Durbin Neighborhood Amenity Center, which was being utilized as a primary staging location.
Right. You recall approximately what time it was that you responded?
Around 5 p.m.
And did you get some type of briefing as to basically what was going on and what was known at that particular point in time?
Yes, sir.
And what was going on at the time?
The initial brief was a missing person.
At some point in time, were you directed to go in and help, you know, secure a residence?
Yes, sir.
And approximately what time was that?
Approximately 6 p.m. Shortly thereafter, 6:40 maybe.
And what residence was that?
Aiden Fucci's residence.
How long were you there at that particular location?
Approximately an hour, maybe a little bit more than an hour.
Okay. What were you given some instructions following that?
There were two patrol deputies that were also present, and I instructed them to secure the scene with a crime scene tape.
Okay. And what was your next assignment?
After that, I was relieved by another major crimes detective, and I was requested to respond to the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office Criminal Investigations Division, where I would then meet with Aiden Fucci.
Okay. And you were going there to make an effort to interview him, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you receive any information while you're in route attempt to conduct that interview?
We received information that he had legal representation and to not attempt to interview at that time.
Right. When you arrived there at the scene, was Aiden Fucci present?
Yes.
And where was he?
I believe we may have arrived before him, and then we walked him into the interview room. He did.
Okay. Was he allowed to visit with anyone while he was there?
Yes, his mother and biological father were allowed to be in the interview room with him.
All right. And during the course of their being in that room, was the room that they were in equipped with a video recording device that captured both video and audio?
Yes, sir.
And was their time in that room recorded?
Yes, sir.
And did it capture a conversation between the defendant, Aiden Fucci, and his parents?
Yes.
No objection?
Okay.
We received a state's exhibit. What do we got? Eight? Number eight.
What's this with? Is this a holding room? Mm-hmm. It's a holding room. What's up? Have they asked any questions?
Well, they asked, like, what caused my hair and what caused my eyes and all that. And that's all I am. And then where we lived.
You know, they found this girl, right?
Where?
In our neighborhood. Down on Main Street.
Is she good?
No, she's not.
She's dead. That's why this is very important. It's all I need right now.
Yeah, my problem.
You were the last one
seen with her. So right now, it's facing you right now, son. So however you talk, you breathe, you think, then you respond.
This is very serious, Aiden. You can't act like, I don't know, I don't know. You can't, and you can't
you
say
understand
that.
This is serious, clearly. You understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything you say will affect you.
That Snapchat that you did was not very smart.
Not at all. Now we have people on the phone in our house, not in our car stuff. Because of that Snapchat thing you did. It's all over. You're all over the internet and everywhere. Social media.
It is on social media. You'll probably come stay with me after we get done with this. Just for your well, safe being. You got no scripts or nothing like it, right?
No, sir.
You sure you don't spell? Your shoes were off on the camera. While your shoes off.
They don't fit already. And those shoes give me blisters.
Did you come home and leave again?
Mm-hmm.
Did you sleep back out, or you just your soul trace house the whole day?
Was it Trace House?
Okay. It's just the one night I didn't ask where you were. So sorry.
It's very serious.
This is no joke. This is your whole life. Your whole life.
And ours.
And ours. And your brothers and sisters. I know for the kid goes to school alone.
Why?
Because the kid's alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're searching our house right now.
Why were you down? Were you up and going?
A little bit.
For what?
A war.
A war?
Water from the cup.
Her cup?
No, water from the cup. A drink.
You stubbing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Did you see this 20-year-old kid? You didn't get his car?
Mm-hmm. I've never even saw him before. Mm-hmm. I just heard about him.
That night?
Mm-hmm.
You just heard about him that night?
I've not heard about him many times.
Do you have a black car?
I don't know.
Are you not scared?
Not really.
Not really?
I'm a little scared, but...
If he didn't do nothing, I wouldn't be worried about him.
No, it's not awesome.
He didn't do nothing, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a hell of a bad time, bad spot. Leaving a 13-year-old girl by herself in the middle of the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever time is not smart, bro. Walking home with her in the middle of the night, that wasn't smart either. You stay away from females. Anything could happen. Did you kiss her this night?
Mm-hmm.
This last night?
Mm-hmm.
At Trey's house?
Mm-hmm.
On the walk? I was supposed to see why you kissed her and all of a sudden you pushed her after you and you pushed her.
Did it find your story to say to it. Think about every question he's going to ask you. Before you answer it, you think about the answer again. The next hour or two.
Ask him the same question to make sure he gives him the same answer. And badger you till your answer changes. Or even goes off a little bit.
Who is your phone?
I'm the officer.
Did you get your food, Elise?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what you did, so I got you back in there.
That was good.
Did you ask any questions on something? Mm-hmm.
Just about what I look like.
Did you tell Dylan to get present?
No, Jacob, Jimmy will never know until you go up to the house to get him.
It says it'll take at least 72 hours to do the autopsy.
What's
that? Did they ever say what took you so long to get home?
Questions, Your Honor.
Cross-examination. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As part of your interviews with different just people associated with Mr. Fucci, did you interview Mr. Ryan Strum?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And isn't it true that Mr. Strum told you that while he knew Aiden Fucci, he never saw him threaten anyone or do any stabbing movements?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. And did you effectuate the arrest on Mr. Fucci?
Did I? Is that what you asked?
Right. Or did you observe it? Were you there for it?
Yes, sir.
And it's true he wasn't combative during the arrest.
That's true.
Thank you. Redirect.
May this witness be excused.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. You're free to go. It's 12 o'clock. Is this a good stopping point? Let's go ahead and take a break for lunch. We'll reconvene at 1:15. If the attorneys could be here by 1:10 so that we can get started right at 1:15. We're in recess.
That wraps up the second segment of the sentencing hearing for Aiden Fucci. There is much more to come in this 11-part series. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment of it. There is more on the way. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.